You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week 5 in our series, Seizing Your Divine Moment. For more information and to visit us online, go to midcurrentchurch.org. And now, here is Pastor Sten with this week's message.
I'm not 100% sure why this is the case, but one of the scenes that I remember most from The Little Mermaid is the scene where Ariel is plucking rose petals one at a time to determine if Prince Eric really, truly does love her, right? She needs some kind of clarity, some kind of confirmation regarding this ever-important matter, and she seems confident that this rose petal method is going to provide the confirmation that she needs. And so she plucks each petal, and as she does, she alternates between two options. He loves me, and he loves me not. Okay, some of you remember the scene too, or you know the saying. Now, I highly doubt that the creators of this movie created that scene with the intention that it would have any like real or significant, you know, connection or correlation with everyday life for you or for me. But as it turns out, I think it does. I think that these are the kind of games that we play when we're looking for answers, not just answers for love, but answers for life, right? These are the kind of games that we play when we're looking for clarity or for confirmation or for direction for something in life. I think that we wish there were these kind of rose petal, magic eight ball kind of answers to the big decisions that we have to make because we want definitive answers. We want surefire options. We want black and white kind of clarity. We want open doors and big, bright, flashing lights always pointing us in the right direction or in the direction that we think that we should be going. And I think this is especially true for spiritual life and for the decisions that we make that involve our faith. We want to do right by God. We want to honor God with the lives that we live, and we want to be certain. We want absolute clarity and confirmation that we are doing exactly what God wants us to do. And there's oftentimes a prayer that we pray when that's what we want. In fact, I'm almost willing to bet that all of us have prayed some version of the very same prayer when it comes to life and any kind of big decision that we have to make. That prayer sounds a little bit like this. God, just give me a sign. God, just give me a sign. Tell me what you want me to do. Give me a sign, God. Anyone ever prayed a prayer like that before? God, just give me a sign, right? You ever asked for God for some kind of direction in life that you needed? I know I have done that from time to time. God, just come on, just show me, just tell me. Right? So often we want confirmation. We want clarification from God that we are moving in the right direction. The bad news with all of this is that God rarely gives us a roadmap for these kind of things. The good news is that he usually will give us some sense of a compass, right? He'll always let us know where true north is, but what that means is there's usually some guesswork. There's usually some wiggle room for us along the way. Make no mistake, I think God is always leading, always guiding. We just have to pay closer attention to what his voice sounds like, and we have to learn what kind of direction that he really does and does not give to us. Because truthfully, I think God does give us signs. It's just not the kind of signs that we typically ask for. I think God does, and he will confirm for us where it is that we should be moving. It's just not through, you know, lightning bolts and open parking spaces and timely songs on the radio. But the signs that he does give to us, all of that is exactly what I want us to try to understand today, and it's what I want to try to make sense of for all of us today in the fifth week in our series, Seizing Your Divine Moment. This whole series was really inspired by a quote from author and pastor. His name was Irwin McManus. And this is what he had to say that really inspired this whole series. He says, "I am convinced the great tragedy is not the sins that we commit, but the life that we fail to live. The great tragedy, it's not the sins that we commit, but it's the life that we fail to live. Mid-Current, our spiritual lives, they are not defined by the wrongs that we separate ourselves from, but by the right things or the best things that we give ourselves to. I really believe that God has called each of us to a life that's full of adventure, full of thrill and freedom and influence. And my hope is that over these 6 weeks, my hope is that when the 6 weeks are over, that you and I would be just a little bit closer to being the person that God designed us to be, that we would be a little bit closer to doing the things that God has called us and equipped us to do. My hope is that you would maybe to embrace your own divine moment somewhere, somehow. In order to do that, to encourage you to do that, we have kind of put another divine moment under the microscope. And the divine moment is of a man from the days of the Old Testament, and his name was Jonathan. We've been tracking through a little piece of his story. Jonathan was the son of Israel's first ever king, King Saul. And rather than inheriting the throne of his father that we might have expected, Jonathan is actually, he's kind of passed over. And the crown and the throne is given to someone else. But what we see playing out on this very short but jam-packed section of the Bible, what we see is that Jonathan is absolutely anything but a loser, rejected by God. And he refuses to let his circumstances, however disappointing those circumstances might be, he refuses to let them dictate or determine his future. And so almost at a moment's notice, he makes a bold decision. He takes bold and daring and decisive action out on the battlefield at a time when no one else was doing anything, and at a time when no one would have expected anyone to take the kind of action that he did. And all along, I've given you the spoiler alert. I've told you the ending of the story the whole time. Because of his daring plan, he rallies the entire nation of Israel to an absolutely improbable victory over their enemies. And every move that he makes and every word that he speaks fills out his spiritual resume in a sense, and it fills out what some have referred to as the Jonathan factor. And this is something that I'm praying that each of us would embody as well, so that we too might seize the divine moments that come our way and that we too might step into the life that God has planned for us. Very quickly, a review. To this point in the series and to this point in Jonathan's story that we're looking at in 1 Samuel chapter 14, we have learned four pieces so far that make up the Jonathan factor. It begins with initiative, right? When the rest of his people were hiding out, paralyzed in fear, Jonathan grabbed his armor bearer and he uttered the four words that really differentiate a moment missed from a moment maximized. He says to his armor bearer, "Come on, let's go." Okay, we can't sit on our hands any longer. Now is the time. God honors that kind of initiative in our life. The next component to that Jonathan factor is being absolutely undeterred by uncertainty. Essentially, Jonathan tells his armor bearer, "Come on, let's go pick a fight, right? The two of us against a few thousand of them." And then the next word out of his mouth is fascinating. Here's the very next word out of his mouth. "Perhaps. Let's go pick a fight, two versus a few thousand. Perhaps the Lord will help us. Maybe. Maybe he'll show up and back us up." The conditions surrounding our divine moments are often filled with this kind of uncertainty. But here's what I wanted us to understand. Uncertainty is not necessarily a sign to turn back around. It's not necessarily a sign that a door has been closed. Oftentimes, it's just an invitation to become so much more certain of God, who is ready to act on your behalf. Jonathan is undeterred, and apparently so is his armor bearer, because his armor bearer's response is amazing, right? Against all odds, here's what he says: "Do whatever you have in mind. I'm with you, Jonathan. I'm with you, heart and soul." And this kind of response alluded to kind of the third, component of the Jonathan factor, which is influence. It's something so much different than authority. Authority might change someone's behavior, but I think influence can ultimately, what we see, it can change a heart. And I wanted us to be people, we want you to be people here at Mid-Current who have the ability to speak to the hearts and to the souls of people around us. Last week, we saw yet another pivotal piece of the Jonathan factor. It was risk-taking. right? Even though general military strategy would have suggested stealth movement and radio silence and sneak attacks, Jonathan opts for a completely different strategy. Instead, he says, let's cross over and let them see us, our enemies, right? Let's show ourselves to them. And I think what this shows is that Jonathan seemed to understand that this particular engagement, it was not a matter of human strategy and calculation. I think he knew that something so much bigger, something truly divine, was on the line. And so if we're going to seize the moments that God has teed up for us, we can't settle for sitting back. We can't settle for blending in and avoiding discomfort. We're going to have to pick some times and some places where we would let ourselves be seen. And we would truly learn to take some kind of risk. And that brings us to today, into the moment right before this battle actually begins. And before Jonathan makes his next move, what does he do? He looks for a sign. He looks for a sign from God to inform what he would do next. He wants some kind of confirmation as to what God would have him do next in this battle. And so for anyone who has ever asked for a sign before from God, I want you to see the specifics of the sign that Jonathan receives, because I think it could encourage us in some of those very same places that we look for God's confirmation and clarification in our own lives. In order to see the sign that Jonathan receives, we're going to drop back into the story, 1 Samuel chapter 14. They've crossed the cliffs. They've now moved into position. And here's what we read in verse 9. Jonathan is speaking to his armor bearer about their enemies. And here's what he says. If they say to us, wait there until we come to you, then we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands. See this? Wait is a no-go. Come on up is a sign from God. Here's verse 11. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, the Philistine said, the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in. And the men of that outpost, they shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer. And this is the big moment right here, right? Would they say wait, or would they say come? Everything hinged on this moment. Here it is. They say, come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson. Okay. Now the arrogance of the Philistines and this invitation from the Philistines apparently told Jonathan all that he needed to know. Because here's how Jonathan responds. It says, so Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. Okay, I don't want us to miss the significance of all of this. And so I want to try to make it very clear. Okay, the only words, when he's wondering what to do next, God, what would you have me do next here? The only words that Jonathan didn't want to hear were, stay where you are. But the call forward was the sign that God was with them and that victory was theirs. You catch that? I can't help but wonder, what does that say to us about the signs that we so often ask for? I can't necessarily give you specifics about whatever you might be facing right now, but what it says to me is this, that most signs from God will be the ones calling us forward. So if there's some kind of path in front of you, if you are able to recognize that there is some kind of step in front of you to take in some area of your life, in some area of your faith, if you can see, despite how nervous you might be to take it, if you can see that there's a path forward or if there's a step to take, there's a good chance it's placed there by a God who wants to call you forward. Because when you're moving with God, or when you want to be moving with God, the only way to move is forward, even if that's the riskier way forward. It was the riskier way forward for Jonathan. Come up to us, which is the sign he ultimately needed, come up to us, put him at a great disadvantage. In fact, look at verse 13. It says, Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet. So picture that, right? He's climbing up to his enemies who are perched on top of the cliff. He's climbing up to his enemies with all available extremities involved in the climb. Meaning he didn't have a free hand, he didn't have a free foot to protect himself. Okay, it was the riskier move for, but that wouldn't matter. It didn't matter to Jonathan, and it didn't matter for the battle. Here's what happened next. It says, the Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In the first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about a half an acre. Friends, God's promise to us, God's blessing to us, God's victory for us, it is often revealed to us in his call for us to advance, even into danger or even into uncertainty. Now, I recognize that this is counterintuitive, right? For us to you know, move forward when all the dots have not yet been connected, right? I understand that that line of thinking is a little counterintuitive, but I want us to understand it's not counterfaith. You see, the problem with so much of our religious language today, it's been focused on the don'ts rather than the do's. In the same way, too often we act as if God's favorite word is stop. But I think more often than not, God's favorite word is go. Right? We can't forget about the very first word of Jesus in his great commission, in his great command to his own followers. Right? The very first word out of his mouth to them and to us, it was go. Go and make disciples. We got to understand that we have already been given the permission that we need to do the will of God in whatever kind of life we choose to live. Right? Too many divine opportunities, too many divine moments, they pass us by because we keep waiting for the thumbs up when honestly the thumbs up has already been given. The truth is, friends, many of the times that we say we're waiting on God, I would say that he's maybe waiting on us to move forward, to advance in the areas of our life that matter the most. Oftentimes, the sign that we get from God, it will be the one calling us forward. It will be the one pointing straight ahead. It will be the one that is going to ask us to advance somewhere in life. And so all of this just begs the question, what kind of sign are you looking for with the decisions you have to make, with the dilemmas that you are facing, right? What kind of sign are you looking for? If you're waiting for, you know, the lightning bolt, or if you're waiting for the shooting star, I hate to break it to you, but you might spend an entire lifetime waiting. Jonathan was moving forward, believing that he was in alignment with God's purposes. And the challenge to advance for him, it was the affirmation of God's power, and it was the affirmation of God's blessing for him. Confirmation, we can't miss this. Confirmation came in the midst of his commitment to keep moving forward. Confirmation came in the midst of the action that he took. And I think the same thing is going to be true for you, and it's going to be true for me. The confirmation that we so often desire, I think oftentimes it's going to result from our belief that God is calling us to advance, the calling us to be moving forward. Now, I want to pause and just make one thing clear here. I don't want to sound reckless. I'm not telling you to be reckless. I'm not telling you to be careless. I'm not, you know, telling you should be impulsive or that you should just say yes to every, you know, single decision or dilemma that you are presented with right now. All I want to do today is to encourage you that for anything that you have even the slightest inclination that God is maybe nudging you toward, for anything that you think God might be in the middle of, for anything that you think is in line with God's purposes, I want to encourage you to go until you get a no. I wish we operated more like that in life, right? Go until you get a no. God has already given you the green light, the freedom to live your life as you please, so long as your life is ultimately pleasing to him. And so I think people who seize their divine opportunities, seize their divine moments, they move with a God-given yes, unless at some point God says no. They work from the go until they hear stop. Why? Because I think so many of the signs that we receive from God are going to be the ones that call us forward. I think most signs from God are going to be the ones that challenge us to advance. So let me just ask you then, is there anywhere in your life, anywhere in your life right now, any part of life, family, marriage, career, I mean, you name it, is there anywhere in your life right now where God is challenging you to advance? Is anywhere in your life that God is calling you to move forward? Is there some kind of next step in front of you that you can see, that you can sense? Again, you might be nervous to take it. It might be someone else nudging you to take it, telling you you should take it. But is there some kind of step in front of you in which God might reveal to you more of himself, more of his promise, more of, you know, the blessing that he has in store for you if you would take it? Right? For some of you, maybe there's some kind of next step in terms of a dream that you have, or maybe some kind of vision that God has put on your heart, a dream that you have maybe quite frankly put off for far too long. Maybe you've been waiting for that sign. Maybe others of you, right, you can see that there's some kind of step. Might be scary. Might be a little unclear, but you can see there's some kind of step out of isolation or out of insulation. Maybe God is calling you forward, right? Out of shame or out of doubt or out of worry or out of fear. Maybe God's calling you, you know, out of addiction. Maybe God is calling you forward into some kind of mission field or some kind of new, you know, ministry initiative. Maybe you can see another step in a relationship with someone that you love, right? God is calling you to advance in your relationship with your spouse or the people that you have surrounded yourself with, to pursue new levels of vulnerability or maybe intimacy or support and encouragement for one another. Maybe God is calling you to advance somewhere, somehow in your faith. Right, as scary as that might seem, as new as that might seem, as unknown as that might seem, maybe you can see that there is another step of faith in front of you. Maybe God is calling you forward to a deeper level of openness or to a deeper level of trust with him. Trust in him with your life, trust in him with your family, trust in him with your finances, or maybe it's trust in him with your very own heart. I don't really know what your divine moment is. It could be anything for any number of us in the room. I don't know what your divine moment is or what it's going to be, but I do know that our divine moments are going to require out of us some determination. I think our divine moments are going to require us to be people who have predetermined. Maybe right here, right now, it's going to require us to be people who have predetermined that we are going to advance, that we are going to move forward in as many places in our life as we can. I kicked off this entire series with that quote from Erwin McManus, and somewhere else he also tells a pretty inspiring short little story about his older brother, Alex McManus, and a divine moment in his life. From an early age, Erwin writes that his brother Alex had a really, really intense fear of flying. And that became quite problematic as the two began working in ministry together, often receiving invitations for the two of them to fly somewhere to do what God had called them to do, much to Alex's disappointment. And he would often reiterate that he wasn't afraid of flying, but he was afraid of crashing. And then came 9/11. And for a short period of time, it seemed there was an entire nation a little skittish and perhaps a little afraid to fly. And yet for Alex McManus, oddly enough, that was all about to change for him. Irwin writes that one day his brother Alex was standing on the campus of USC when he saw a plane flying overhead. And it was actually the first passenger airplane that Alex had seen in the sky since 9/11. And here's what Irwin McManus writes of Alex's experience that day. He says this: "In that moment, Alex knew he was watching an act of defiance, that once being a passenger took very little forethought. But now it required a conscious decision to move forward rather than to remain paralyzed." He said, "From that day on, Alex has been on planes multiple times with no fear or no phobia of flying whatsoever. Just, and I quote, pure defiance, leaning forward, seizing the divine moments, and advancing the kingdom." Midcurrent, someday I'd love for that to be said, or I'd love for that to be written about us, about you and about me. That in everything we did, right, we lived with pure defiance of all the things that scared us or all the things that we were convinced that we could not or we would not ever do. My prayer is that Midcurrent Church would be an entire community of people who are always leaning forward, ready to advance the good that is on the heart of God, rather than leaning back, attempting to resist it, or rather than sitting back, waiting for a sign that quite possibly we've already been given. My hope and my prayer for you and for me is that we would be people who choose to go until we get a no. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for this time and for this space when our hearts are heavy. God, when the tragedies of this world feel like it's just closing in on our hearts and on our minds, God, we're grateful for this space. We're grateful for this time that we carve out to give you thanks and to honor you and to turn our hearts and our lives to you, God, to throw our hands up to you. As a way to say, Lord, have mercy, God, come into this world, come into my heart, come into my life. So God, we give you thanks for this time that we have here. And God, I give you thanks for the unique ways that I know and that I trust that you are speaking to each of us. God, I give you thanks for the ways that I think you are leading each of us. Might look different for all of us, God, but I trust that you are leading us. I trust that you are nudging us and pushing us in the directions that you might want us to go. And I pray that we would be people who are ready to move forward, God. I pray that we would be people who would be leaning forward, that we would be people always on our toes rather than back on our heels. God, I pray that we would be people who work from a God-given yes until we get a no from you. God, help us in all things that we do to do our best to move in alignment with you, God, in alignment with your purposes and your priorities in the world. And so long as we believe that we're moving in a way that honors you with our hearts and our lives, God, I pray that we would continue to advance somewhere, somehow, in some part of our life that you might be working right now. So God, would you be with us on the journeys that we are each on? God, whatever divine moment or moments or whatever opportunities you are putting before us, God, would you help give us the courage and the trust and the wisdom and the guidance to seize them, God, to take the initiative, to grab the bull by the horns, to move forward even when it seems dangerous or risky or uncertain, God. Pray that we would put more and more of our trust and our hope and our confidence in you and in the places you're leading us to and the people that you're calling us to be. God, we give you thanks for this time, and most of all, we give you thanks for your son, Jesus, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for being here with us. We've been so glad to have you for each week in this series, and we're looking forward to bringing this series, Seizing Your Divine Moment, to a close next week. And so we really, really hope that we would see you here on site or online as well at 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning or on demand at any other time during the week on youtube.com/midcurrentchurch. Thanks so much for being here. We hope you have a wonderful afternoon. God bless you.